Matthew 24 begins what is commonly called the Olivet Prophecy, because it was delivered on the Mount of Olives about 2 days before Jesus' crucifixion. You might turn over to Matthew 24. We'll spend the entire time in that section of Scripture. Matthew 24 and 25, and if you are lucky, it'll all be on the same page. Otherwise, oh well. Little fanny action. The Olivet Prophecy was given when the disciples asked about the destruction of Jerusalem that Jesus had talked about in verse 2. They wanted to know when it would take place, what the signs of his coming and the end of the age would be. Jesus proceeds to describe wars and famines and pestilence along with earthquakes in verse 7. Talks about tribulation, persecution in verse 9. Several times he mentions false Christs and false prophets. Then he describes great tribulation in verse 21. Followed by heavenly signs seen the world over in verse 29. But having given all of these signs, Jesus gets down to the when. And first he relates a parable, beginning in verse 32. It says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So he tells us that when the time comes, if we are watching for those things that he said would happen, we will know that the time is imminent. But he goes on to say in verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Even Jesus could not tell them at that time exactly when he would return. And in verse 42, he gives them this warning. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. The parallel accounts in Mark 13 and Luke 21 end at this point. But Matthew records that Jesus continued his discourse. And he did so by relating five additional parables. Five parables that focus on what he expected his disciples to do since they could not know when he would return. We sometimes look at these parables one at a time to suit whatever study we're working on at that moment, but today I want to look at them as a group. There are many themes and warnings and parallels that run through these parables, and most of them focus very much on what Jesus expects us to be doing prior to his return. The first parable is in Matthew 24, verses 43 to 44, sometimes called the parable of the master of the house, and we will be reading that shortly. The second parable is sometimes called the faithful and evil servants. This one is less familiar, and I'm going to read that one now. So in verse 45, we read, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The last three parables are found in Matthew 25 and are more well known, so I will summarize them. I will only summarize them here. We'll be reading much of them later on. The third parable is the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, and 5 foolish who did not take enough oil in their lamps and were shut out of the wedding feast when they went to get some. The fourth is the parable of the talents, servants given various amounts of money, two of whom diligently traded and increased what they were entrusted with, and one who did not. He claimed it was out of fear, but the householder assessed it was because of laziness. And the fifth parable is usually called the parable of the sheep and goats. The sheep commended and rewarded for their good deeds toward those in need, and the goats condemned for their lack of compassion. So let's look at some of the common threads in these parables to see what we should and should not be doing as we wait for Christ's return. The first and most obvious theme is what introduced these parables in verse 42 of Matthew 24. Watch, for you don't know when the Lord is coming. This is the primary message of the first parable, which comes immediately after the instruction to watch. And in verse 43, it reads, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." This theme is also found in the second parable. If you look at verse 50, it reads, "The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. If the evil servant had been watching, instead of beating his fellow servants and carousing with the drunkards, he might not have gotten into so much trouble." And the theme is also found in the third parable, the beginning of chapter 25, parable of the virgins, which actually concludes with what Jesus had said earlier in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So our first message about what to do as we wait is to watch. And while this idea of watching includes watching world events, as the parable of the fig tree implies, I think it has a stronger application as watching our spiritual condition, as emphasized by some of the other themes in these five parables. Another message is that Jesus is not coming back immediately, and we should not be complacent that he is delaying his coming, even though there will be a delay. In the second parable, in verse 48 of Matthew 24, "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,'" so that servant actually used that delay as license to sin. Perhaps he thought he could make up for his misbehavior later, when his master was closer to returning. The application for us should be obvious. In parable number 3, we read in verse 5, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." In this parable, the delay does not directly influence their behavior, but it should have affected their preparation. We need to be prepared and not slack off thinking the Lord delays his coming. In the fourth parable, looking at verse 19, it says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." I would like to suggest that the two servants who doubled their talents only stopped because their master finally did return, but would have continued if he had delayed even longer. So our second message, implied by at least three of the parables, is, "I'm not coming back immediately," adding to the warning that they and we are to watch, and sparking our next theme. Be diligently ready, as he will come when we are not, or he will not come when we are not prepared. Since we don't know when he will come, we can know that we will be ready if we are always ready. In the first parable, verse 43, "If the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched." Well, he didn't know, and neither do we. Therefore, as it says in verse 44, "You also be ready, For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. In the second parable, verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of. We don't know the hour either, so let's not behave like the evil servant. And in the third parable, verse 6 of Matthew 25, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. In other words, they weren't ready. But in verse 9, the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. So again, three times we're given a warning in these parables. Be ready, be prepared for an unexpected return. After all, it seems obvious Jesus isn't going to come back within the next year. Too many things need to happen first. But for any one of us, he could come back tomorrow. Another theme, be about the business God wants us engaged in. And these parables actually give us some idea of what that is. For example, in the second parable, we're given the task of taking care of those in our trust. In verse 45, it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. This can be literal food, supplying needs for our family or strangers, people who need it, or spiritual food. But we have an obligation to take care of one another. In the fifth parable, we see an example of taking care of those in need. In verse 35, we read, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then in verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. God expects us to do the same. In the fourth parable, we see an example of improving our talents and developing what the Lord has given us. In verse 15, we read, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. Then in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came, brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We all have talents and gifts of some sort, if nothing more than the truth God has given us. We need to develop these talents while we wait for Christ's return. There's much more we need to be doing, of course, but these examples do come out in these parables. And there's a sub-theme connected with this subject as well. We are all going to give account when he returns. In the fourth parable, in verse 19, we read, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he was going to judge what they did with what they had. And in the fifth parable, verse 31 to 32, When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will be evaluating what they did in this life. So in summary, our last 2 points here says we need to be about our Father's business, and we will give account about what we've been doing. Another point, we need to be faithful in the little things before getting the big things, but the reward is great. So in the second parable, verse 45, we read, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods." So he was faithful in the small task that he was given. He will be rewarded by being made ruler over all his goods. Important enough when viewed at a human level, but this is the Lord of the universe we're talking about. If we are faithful in what he has given us to do now, we will be rewarded with even more. In the third parable, verse 10, "While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." I think we all want to be at the wedding and not shut out. But it means even more when other parables make it clear that we are to actually be the bride. In the fourth parable, in verse 21, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is the second time where he's emphasized being faithful. "You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And then in verse 28, emphasizing the fact that he will give us even more, "Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." In the fifth parable, verse 34, we read, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And we read in verse 46, that includes eternal life. As I said, be faithful in the little things before we're getting the big things, but the reward is indeed great. Now, so far we focused mainly on the positive message, but these parables also discuss what not to do. First, don't mistreat others. In the second parable, we read that this would apply to our fellow servants. In verse 49, about the evil servant, it says, "And begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards." So we're not to mistreat others, especially those in their fellowship. But it goes beyond that. As we read in the fifth parable, we are not to, if you can say this, mistreat those in need. We are to, in other words, help them. And it says in verse 42, Jesus says to those on his left hand, "For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then he will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." They were essentially mistreating those in need by not helping them. Somewhere related to this is the concept that we are not to be guilty of inaction, and don't make excuses for not doing what is right. In this same fifth parable, we read that they were guilty of inaction. They didn't help those in need as they were supposed to. In the fourth parable, in verse 18, but he who had received one of the talents went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And then he made excuses. So that in verse 24 it says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. He was guilty of inaction, of not making even the least investment, and he thought he had a good excuse. In the third parable, verse 3, those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. They were guilty of inaction, of not preparing for the bridegroom's arrival. And in our first parable, in verse 43, know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So even if we don't know the day or hour, we're told to watch anyway. Don't just wait around and do nothing. In addition to surprise and dismay at being rejected, we also learn that the punishment for those who are not ready is very unpleasant. In the second parable, the master of that servant, in verse 50, will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a pleasant reward. In the third parable, verse 11, afterward the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And they are left on the outside, not going in to the wedding. And then in the fourth parable, we read in verse 30 that they were to cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And finally, the fifth parable, verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And in verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The last theme I want to address today, there is no deathbed repentance. Repenting after Jesus returns is too late to participate in the initial reward. In parable number 2, verse 48, the evil servant thinks if the master isn't coming right away, he'll have time to behave himself later. In the third parable, in verse 11, afterward the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. It was too late. They needed the oil before this. And in the fifth parable, verse 44, then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison and did not minister to you? And in verse 46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It was too late to start caring for the needy. These are just a few of the themes, instructions, and warnings Jesus gave in his last parables. Jesus said he could not tell them when he would return. Even now, we may not know when he will return. But in his concluding parables, he left us with no excuse regarding what we should be doing until he does return. We need to watch the events in the world so we recognize the signs as instructed in the parable of the fig tree. But even more important, we need to watch our spiritual condition to be ready, awake, and prepared for the return of Christ. This involves developing our own talents, but also includes our relationships with others, taking care of those in need. We need to provide spiritual and physical food to those we come in contact with. We are being judged by how we handle ourselves in the little things before he gives us the big things. We need to be faithful servants. The Olivet prophecy tells us what will happen, but let us also learn the lessons Jesus wanted to convey in the Olivet parables.